Like Call It What You Want, which we know is your favorite podcast about the beautiful game, Vuori is committed to delivering a great experience for everyone, which is highlighted by their new perspective on performance apparel. Everything is designed to work out in, but doesn't look or feel like it. In fact, I'm rocking their Stratotech polo right now, along with their Sunday performance jogger pants, so I can be business on top when I'm on camera, but super comfortable on the bottom. And it's just the best. Vuori gear is incredibly versatile, and it can be used for just about any activity. Running, training, swimming, lounging around, hosting podcasts, doing errands, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. And for our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/call it. That's Vuori.com/call it. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/call it and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. And counting until Azteca and the nerves are starting to kick in. I'm Heath Pierce, he's Charlie Davies, and this is In Soccer We Trust, a new podcast and YouTube channel from CBS Sports dedicated to all things American soccer. We've got a packed show today. We'll be previewing Mexico versus the U.S. men's national team and the rest of Thursday's CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers, as well as welcoming in a very special guest, former Mexico midfielder Paco Palencia, to get his thoughts about El Tri's preparations. And by the way, we are in a giving mood today. I mean, we're in a giving mood all the time, but especially giving today. We have a $100 P Plus gift card to give out to one lucky viewer. So make sure, if you want a chance to of landing it, simply drop your handle in the chat and our producer will pick out one lucky winner. By handle, we mean any one of your social media handles. Put it in the chat so we can track you down. People seem to forget to do that part, and it's hard for us to give them away. And we're giving away free things. So just put your handle in there and we can maybe hook you up with a $100 gift card. Charlie Davies, what is going on, man? Good to see you again.
Yeah, always good to see you. Now we're getting into a routine, so I'm really liking this. I'm digging this.
Okay. Well, Charlie, obviously, we've got arguably the biggest match so far of World Cup qualifying for the U.S. coming up, and there's been some news that have come out recently. Obviously, Brendan Aaronson was removed over the weekend. People were worried about him, and then there was rumors that he was coming in and he was going to figure it out, and then Taylor Twellman just made a statement, and I just heard from a very good source as well, that Brendan Aaronson will not be in the team and that he's out for 2 to 4 weeks with a knee injury. So what's your take on that? Do you think it changes the preparations, the capabilities of the team? Or, you know, are you still think that we're sort of full steam ahead with the opportunity that we have?
We're still full steam ahead. You know, on the plus side, you get Gio Reyna back, and he just played 90 minutes, right? So you don't have to worry about fitness. I was concerned, knowing that he's back, but had he been tested for 90 minutes, you know, that match fitness is key when you're talking about World Cup qualifying. Now, is that enough match fitness to start at Azteca in altitude? Probably not.
I don't know. Is any match fitness enough for Azteca
exactly.
at altitude?
And so limited, probably not going to be, you know, probably used from the start if you're thinking about it, if you want to be safe with him. So I think from that standpoint, you get him back, you lose Aaronson. Yes, he's a dynamic player. He gives you something different, especially on the press, the counter press movement of the ball. But I still think it's full steam ahead, and you still have your first choice 11 outside of McKinney.
Well, we're going to get to that first choice 11 here in a little bit. You and I both built our expected 11s. Now, if you were the coach in this situation, though, would Gio Reyna be a starter for you? Like, take risk out of it, but knowing the importance of this match, knowing that he came off a 90. You know, we've talked about it a lot in the past on the K Golasso pod around Pulisic, right? Getting him 50, getting him 30, getting him 40, getting him 60, working him back into full health, and then you get him back into the national team, whereas Reyna went straight back into 90. So clearly there's a level of fitness that he has that they trust him with, and the fact that he didn't break down. I mean, do you think that's enough to at least feature in the Mexico game?
Yes. You know, just before this match, he got about 27, 30 minutes to the match prior where he had an assist off a free kick. So another 90, that also gives me the confidence that he can pull this off, right? He's going to be able to be used throughout this process. But I don't think it's enough to start. You and I both know hamstring injuries. Mm-hmm. You can feel great throughout the match, and then it's the recovery process that may take a little bit longer, and you have to give your hamstring time to heal. So
right.
I think we will see him. I don't think we're going to see him from the start.
And is that, you talk about the full strength 11 minus mm-hmm. Weston McKennie, and we'll get to that at a certain point. Do you think that this team is deep enough? You know, we've talked about, again, we are at unprecedented levels in terms of depth of the national team of potential quality, but we're still going through these motions of developing these players, right? Tyler Adams not starting every game at the moment. You know, the development of these players, Weston McKennie in and out of the team until he found his form, and a number of other players kind of going through it all. And so we're deeper than ever in terms of potential talent, but we're not deeper than ever in terms of experience and what we need in this type of upcoming matches. Do you still think we have the quality to, one, starting with Mexico, get 3 points at Azteca, considering Mexico aren't what they used to be, considering the time of the year, the time of the kickoff, all the factors that usually create this fortress for Mexico don't seem to be at play at the moment?
No, they don't. And I'll go back to the Nations League final in the summer. You're not playing in Mexico, but it was a pro-Mexican crowd. You're playing at altitude, right? So it's almost a precursor to this match in Azteca, because you're thinking, all right, you play in the heat, you played in altitude, you played in a pro-Mexican crowd. I would say that crowd was probably 85% for Mexico. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not quite Azteca, but it gives you an idea. And they came from behind to win that game, right? For me, that was a huge confidence boost. Then they took them down in the Gold Cup final. Then they took them down again at home in the World Cup qualifier. That's 3 straight. That never happens. But what really never happens is a win at Azteca in World Cup qualifying. So, right. Yes, this team, I think, has enough experience and enough talent and quality to get the job done. Now, we both know that's not all what it takes to win at Azteca. You have to have a little bit more in the grit, and it's more about the smarts in the game, the having that intuition. Can you deal with all of those factors and still play your game and be resilient? I think they can, but it's not going to be easy. You don't have Dest either, and that's a major game changer.
Absolutely. And just a reminder for anybody that's listening to this and or watching this, the matches will be on CBS Sports Network and exclusively or as well on Paramount Plus, Mexico versus the U.S. at 10 p.m. Eastern time. And then you've also got the other matches that will be on Paramount Plus, 7:05 Eastern, Jamaica versus El Salvador, Panama versus Honduras at 9:05, and then 10:05, similar to the kickoff of U.S. versus or Mexico versus the U.S. Costa Rica takes on Canada. So make sure you guys are tuned into that. Get those notifications on. Also, notifications on for this channel. And for those of you that are trying to win that $100 gift card, don't put the at. What's that called? The at thing called? It's got a name for it, but don't put that into the chat, because then YouTube doesn't display them. So just throw in your social media name, and we'll draw those names out of the hat to give away a $100 gift card, which is pretty amazing. Now, Charlie, let's shift our focus a little bit to Gio Reyna in this context. Is he a like-for-like replacement for Brendan Aaronson? Is he a different type of player? You know, when Ricardo Pepi first came onto the scene, I was super excited about him. I'm still super hot on him. I think it was the wrong move for him to go to a relegation fighting club for somebody his age and the talent that he has. And I think we're seeing the downsides of that right now. But mm-hmm. what I like most about Gio Reyna is his connection to Erling Haaland when they're on the field, just how connected he is, running off, spinning off. How important do you think is Gio Reyna being put in a spot on the field that you bring out the best in him, right? We saw when Dortmund have gone through the different changes and styles of play over the time that Gio Reyna has been there, when they push him high and wide, he's more disconnected from the game. He's less, I think, dangerous. He's good at running at players, 1-2 combination play. Whereas when he's a little more withdrawn, a little more connected to other players around him, he tends to have this real ability, especially in and around the top of the box. I mean, do you think he's a like-for-like replacement for Brendan Aaronson? And I guess, does the lineup change when he's on the field and who you want to have around him?
I don't think they're like-for-like. I think they're two different players. Aaronson is one that loves to, you know, get into the half spaces. He's very quick, but there's not so much, I think, genius on the ball, if that's the right word to use. When you talk about Gio Reyna, who's very good in those tight spaces, very good at maneuvering the ball and chopping players, he's got a little flair to him, which I love, and the attitude. I think he's a little bit more aggressive and physical than Aaronson. I think Brent Aaronson has come a long way than his early days with the Philadelphia Union, being able to take those hits and players and teams that are being physical. But I think Gio Reyna gives you a little bit different. He's an X factor. I think for Gio, when you're watching him play, sometimes you see the mannerisms and the body language that is poor at times. That's what needs to change with him. If he can be a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more positive in his play, and when players around him, you know, maybe don't make the right decision, for him not to go down or kind of put the blame on them, kind of pick them up. He's a young player. I think he'll get to that. But when you're a young player playing in Europe, that's what happens. If you make a bad decision, you make a bad pass, they let you know. And sometimes you're like, man. And I think you pick up those traits with this U.S. team. Even though he's young, I think he's going to mature into a leader. He's a fantastic player. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's just learning, you know, as you do, as all pros do at a young age, you're just learning as you go. And I think that will be a big benefit to him if he can start to change the way he responds when things don't go his way or his team's way.
Do you think that body language can be shaped, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but do you think that body language, that character can be shaped, or do you think that's the type of person he is? Because you and I both played with tons of fantastic players that just have really bad body language and are selfish or have things that are detrimental to the team. Some of them work it out and they do just enough to be part of it. But do you think that's an attitude thing? Do you think it's the fact that he's young? Do you think it's, you know, we've also romanticized this into being like the fighter or the hard worker, or they want to win so bad. Remember, Clint Dempsey had that reputation for a while of just like wanting it so bad that sometimes it came out in these ways that felt negative or misunderstood, that, you know, they're just harder on themselves than anybody else, is that sort of thing. Do you think that can be shaped and molded, or do you think this is Gio Reyna's character and that we just need to be a little bit, harder on the players around him, that sometimes that body language is going to happen? Because you see some of the best players in the world. I mean, Neymar's that way. Mbappe's that way when things aren't going his way, throwing his arms up and his, you know, kind of head going down when things aren't working out. Do you think that's could be something bad for the team? And do you think it's something that could be shaped or molded by good mentorship?
Yeah, I think when you talk about Clint Dempsey, who's a perfect example, all of us players in the locker room knew where his heart was, where his mind was. We knew what his intentions were. I don't think anyone was like, oh, man, especially in our generation, maybe the older generation are like, hey, who's this young hotshot who thinks he's coming here to take, you know, positions and playing time, whatever. We all knew, man, Clint's the real deal. He has this passion. He has a fire. He's an ultimate competitor. In training, if you were in his way, if you were preventing him from getting by you, you were going to feel an elbow. You were going to feel, you know, him getting physical, and you had to fight right back. He respected you for that. And everyone knew that's kind of what you were getting into. Just don't disrespect your teammate, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's how Clint played. Hey, I'm going to do this for my family, for myself, for my country, and nothing's going to change. I'm going to do what I need to do to win and compete. And I think everyone was kind of around that. Although the media portrayed him as, oh, bad attitude, you know, doesn't really talk, blah, blah. But we all knew that was the case. I think with Gio Reyna in this instance, he's not there yet. And so this group look at him because he's playing at Dortmund. As someone who's got to kind of be, unfortunately, at his age, one of the leaders of this team, right? Mm-hmm. And it might not be the vocal leader, but you might have to lead with your performance. Lead by, you know.
Do you think these injuries, by the way, Charlie, change his perspective on things? Because, you know, you quickly, like, life changes quick when you get injured. Yes. As an athlete, right? When you're young, especially his age, you're pretty much untouchable. You feel like you're on top of the world. You don't really warm up. You're not forced to really take care of your body, not even close at that age. Do you think some of that's not a wake-up call, but changes his perspective being on the training table for long periods?
Injuries definitely change your perspective because you sit out and you have to watch. And that's the worst because you're getting to watch your teammates play games and have fun, and you can see them on the pitch. And that's where you express yourself. You've always expressed yourself. And now you got to sit there in the training room and do massages and rehab. It's never fun. It changes you because it gives you a different perspective. It also makes you appreciate, you know, being on the pitch. And then you're going to do whatever it takes not to get injured, right? And learn from the things you can prevent, because you can't always prevent everything. But what I can tell you is I've met Gio and he's an incredible kid. He's obviously his father. You know, it's hard to step out of that shadow, but I think he's done that. And I also think, you know, he comes from a good family. He was raised right. And for that reason, you know, getting a chance to see how he interacts with people, he's a good kid. Mm-hmm. You've been around some players where, you know, man, you got bad vibes from them, or they said something that was off and you said, but Gio Reyna, he's a good kid. I know he's going to succeed. I think everyone wants him to succeed, but it's just those moments in the game where you can choose to either lift someone up or bring them down. And I know you want them to be performing at their best, but in some cases, some players need to be brought up.
Yeah, that's well said. Well, let's shift over to sort of the weekend recap of just giving a perspective of where the team is at. Obviously, some really high highs. You know, Stefan and Horvath in the FA Cup action. Jesus Ferreira with the 10-minute hat trick. Ferreira and Areola. Areola's been fantastic since he's gotten there too. Just kind of at that fresh self of just being active. You know, want to get your take on where you see them fitting into the conversation of these upcoming qualifiers and where you could see them being used. And then obviously Gio gets his full 90, as you've already mentioned, against Cologne. And then Pepe, another unused substitute, just really seemingly far from being a starter on that team or at the level. Another player that I think quickly rose and had what I think at times some body language issues as well, of somebody who just kind of went from zero to hero and now having to figure out kind of where he fits into the team and a long ways to go in terms of his development, but still somebody who has so much raw talent. Was there anything over the weekend that you took away that gave you, you know, hope? I think there was a lot more in terms of like, okay, no Weston McKennie. Now we're losing Brendan Aaronson. We have no Sergiño Dest, and kind of thinking about us being in trouble versus some of the positives that came out of this weekend and other players that are starting to rise to the occasion as well.
The biggest one for me heading into this window was Zach Steffen getting 90 minutes in the FA Cup, right? Because he is your starter. You also didn't want him to come into these three matches without having played a game, right? Regardless of where he is with Man City and the training and sessions being so good, you need matches. And so that prep, I think, will serve him and the U.S. men's national team extremely well heading into these three games. So I was really pumped about that. Of all the things I saw this weekend. Another one is Gio Reyna getting 90. Just the confidence to know that you can go 90 without getting an injury is massive. So to go from, you know, 30 minutes coming in as a sub, then all of a sudden, you know, you're coming in as a starter the next match. So you your body recovered and you could handle the 90 minutes, the hamstring held up. That's fantastic. So I think coming into these qualifiers now, maybe you come in as a sub, give the body a little bit more time, don't push it too hard, and then you're a starter for that home game against Panama. That would be, I think, the way I would do it. And I think that's what Greg would do, because sometimes he's very smart and calculated with those moves. So I think that those are the two things that stood out for me this weekend. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're spot on with some of those things. I guess my follow-up question to you is did Horvath do enough to earn a starting spot in this situation? Steffen getting his first 90, I think, makes us all more comfortable because we know just the quality that he brings, you know, the comfort that he has with his feet, moments like that. When I go back to Nations League, there's a couple times that you just have the ability to distribute, the ability to move the ball around, that comfort of knowing that sometimes when you go back to a goalkeeper, at least during our generation, Charlie, that generally meant that it was going to be a long ball. You push your lines up, you fight for a second ball, it comes down. Like, the game's a little bit more predictable there. Whereas now when you have somebody like Zach Steffen back there, you go back there and you get to restart. And yeah, it might be a long ball, but it might be a long switch. It might be distribution out of the back. It might be finding a midfielder to his feet. And you just have a different dynamic of, in tough moments, knowing that not every time that you get pressed and you go negative with your passing, that it's going to lead to a 50-50 long ball. Do you think that that's the deciding factor? Do you think there was any question about Zach Steffen being a starter in this one with Ethan Horvath getting the minutes that he had? Or, you know, was the 90 minutes in the FA Cup sort of the answer to that question for you? Or was it always going to be Zach Steffen in your book going into this game?
I think it was always going to be Zach Steffen as long as he was healthy. And him playing 90 minutes in the FA Cup match was confirmation that he's healthy and good to go. And so, you know, it's one of those things that we've seen throughout qualifying. Matt Turner was on fire. He was the best keeper. All of a sudden, guess what? You're on the bench because Zach Steffen was healthy. Zach Steffen is the number one for the U.S. Men's National Team. And so whether people like it or not, he's the number one. He's at Manchester City. Yes, he's on the bench, but he's at Manchester City. It's like if Christian Pulisic, for whatever reason, went to Barcelona or Real Madrid and he's on the bench. Is he not going to start? Of course he's going to start. So it'll be one of those things where you hope come next year after this this league campaign ends for Manchester City that he'll be loaned out. And I think he spoke about that. Heading into the World Cup, he wants to get games, right, and being consistent. So he'll probably have a half season of matches in another place. That would make sense, and that would be obviously best case scenario for U.S. Men's National Team. But Horvath, I mean, what can you not say about Horvath? He was fantastic in the Nations League. I mean, to come up big with some huge saves, that penalty kick save, he's a good kid. Everyone loves him, mm-hmm. right? So you can't go wrong. You look at the pool, you got to be pumped. It's when they're all fit, Steffen, Turner, Horvath, Son Johnson, you have Gaga Slonina with the Chicago Fire, who's a rising star. So the goalkeeper position looks pretty good.
Well, let me ask you this then. Of all the players that have been called into this camp, you know, and I'm looking specifically outside of what we would expect to be the starting 11 or 12 or 13, is there one player, and maybe Des, if you could throw up the roster, if you've got it in front of you at some point, just to look at this roster, is there a player that you think, if you're anybody that's listening or watching this right now, want that from it? I want to hear from you as well. That's going to be called upon to do something special for this team, right? It's easy to start to predict what this lineup looks like, but mm-hmm. I'm thinking about outside of that. I'm thinking about whether that's your Christian Roldans, Luca De La Torres, Gianluca Busios, Jesus Ferreira, Jordan Morris, like Paul Arriola, you know, James Sands, Eric Palmer Brown, just kind of thinking outside of the context of this group. Of what our first 11 is. Is there anybody in there that you think, hey, they're going to have a huge, and it could be a Kellen Acosta. I mean, is there anybody in this that you go, they're going to at some point have to have a big moment in this team? You know, thinking about, I'm thinking about that as I look at the way Areola's started the season. I think of the way Sebastian Legette started the season. Christian Roldan's been good at the club level this season. Obviously Legette not in at the moment. But knowing that, like, you may not be the guy. You might not even be a guy that goes to the World Cup. But in this final window, and Charlie, I was part of that in 2010, right? I was involved. I had the most caps in 2008, 2009. I was heavily involved in World Cup qualifying and all the way through to the end. Wasn't selected. Wasn't in the last camp where we qualified. Didn't go to the World Cup. Was in the final camp. Knowing that I played, but I knew that I played a huge role going into this, right? Is there anybody in this group that you think is going to play that type of role in this camp that we might not be expecting?
If I had to choose one of the not given playmakers within this roster, and we both have our starting 11, I would say Ricardo Pepi could be the one because he's like not that. Playing. He's out of form. You know, that would be the player that I think stands the biggest chance to come in and change the game, because everyone's kind of written him off because he's not playing. And he's in a really difficult spot for a youngster. You go to Europe, mm-hmm. you want to play. There's all this hype. He scored some goals with the U.S. men's national team. You know, you are kind of claimed the number nine, and all of a sudden you go to Germany and you get no burn. You're playing out of position. Yeah, similar to what Josh Sargent went through. All of a sudden you're a winger, right? And you're thinking, hey, I thought I was brought here to, you know, be the guy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work like that in Europe. They can spend $20 million on you and you're on the bench. There's no givens. Like, if you're not training well, you're not going to play. And if you do play and you don't produce as a striker and they spend money on you, it's the next guy's turn. In Major League Soccer, unfortunately, these players can get away with it for long spells, right? Not in Europe. And that is why I think we're starting to see more and more players go over there, because you're going to get tested. You're going to be put in uncomfortable positions that forces you to grow, right? Either way, you're going to become a better player because you're going to see how things truly work on the world scale.
Yeah. You know, I would say for me, and Ismael, appreciate that comment that you just had about Paul Arriola, and I think that's spot on. He's one that I think in moments has been pretty big and has the we talk about Weston McKennie a lot as having this sort of X factor, this game changer ability. And I think there's going to be somebody in this group, in this camp, that's going to emerge as this game changer or this type of ability. I was doing the game last night with LAFC, and you had Ryan Hollingshead had a brace, and you just go like, you know, this is a player finally coming back home to California, Southern California, and has a brace in a massive game. And you go, wow, that guy rose to this moment. And he's a right left back, right? He wasn't doing anything spectacularly up to that point. Wasn't, you know, particularly playing great or out of his mind, but had these huge moments. And I think about that through the lens of this national team, that a ball's going to fall into an area or somebody's going to get a decent look from outside the box and deliver for this. And Paul Arriola is one that I think has that ability. Jordan Morris is another one that I want to see get back to that level of being able to win games for the national team. I know those are both sort of trigger names in the U.S. soccer community because they're MLS-based players and whatnot, but they have the experience, and we don't have a ton of experience going into this window. We have more experience because Greg Berhalter's used a deep roster. We have more experience because he's rotated a number of players through this qualifying, but we don't have guys, you know, going back two cycles or whatever, like maybe Kellen Acosta and Christian Pulisic, right? Going into the last cycle, Jordan Morris maybe. But outside of that, we don't have a bunch of guys that know this occasion other than going back to last summer and the three wins that the U.S. has had over Mexico. And so I think about guys like that have been in these big moments that could rise to that. And I think Paul Arriola could be one as well. And by the way, for anybody that doesn't already know, on the In Soccer We Trust YouTube channel, we've got an interview with Jordan Morris that Jimmy Conrad did. That's really interesting. So go on and take a look at that. Charlie, is there anybody else from this roster that you could see having an impact going into this game that we might not be thinking before we go to break?
Aaron Long.
Ooh.
Aaron Long.
Wait till you see my lineup then, Charlie. Wait till you see my lineup. You know, I might agree
too
with you.
Hey, yeah. Mine too. I think Aaron Long, Greg Berhalter has always made it known how much he appreciates Aaron Long as a center back and a competitor and someone who was a leader for this group. And so now he's back. He's playing consistently. And the way that Red Bulls play is super up-tempo and high pace, high energy. So it matches along the lines of how this U.S. men's national team is going to play. Now, not necessarily that's how they're going to play in Mexico, but typically being on the front foot, coming up, to engage with center forwards who check deep, being able to cover ground, Aaron Long can do that. So it looks like I would not be surprised if he is one of the big players to come out of kind of out of nowhere and make a difference.
Yeah, it's certainly one that we'll talk more about in our lineups because it sounds like we both got maybe him slotted into something. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, obviously, we're going to talk about our projected 11s as well as talk about all the other teams in World Cup qualifying and CONCACAF. And then we're going to have our special guest join us as well. We will be right back.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
New CBS Monday.
NCIS! Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
All right, everyone, we are back. And just a reminder, join soccer's biggest fans in LA, Kansas City, or NYC on March 24th for a one-of-a-kind soccer watch party immersed in the unique culture of the incomparable Mexico-U.S. rivalry featuring exclusive merchandise. It's going to be sick. I've seen it. Free food and beverage, which is always a plus. You don't get a lot of free food and beverage when you go to these watch parties, but these ones, you will. There's going to be giveaways, interactive games, and more presented by Paramount Plus. And you can RSVP for those by signing up at www.mexuswatchparties.com. Again, that's mexuswatchparties.com to RSVP. It's limited capacity. Each of these cities in LA, Kansas City, New York will be following local COVID guidelines. So make sure you sign up, get there early, get the food, get the drinks, have a good time. I'll be in at the LA one, but really want to see people turn out in Kansas City and New York as well, because those are the soccer hotbeds. So let's do it. Charlie, we are back, man. And it is time to talk about our proposed 11s for the upcoming games. And soon after that, we'll have Paco Palencia joining us. And Charlie, you're going to tell us all about the Paramount Plus team and what they're doing around this Mexico-U.S. game. So let's get into where should we start? Oh, by the way, we're still giving away our $100 gift card. So throw those handles in the chat. Don't put the @s in there because then YouTube won't add them, because I think they think you're doing something shady. So just put a handle. You know, if mine says @ Heath Pierce, just send Heath Pierce, and then you're entered to win that $100 Paramount Plus gift card. Yeah, Charlie, let's get into it. Should we start with actually, we'll ask producer Dez what the best way to go into these 11s are. Is it better to should we start with Charlie's? Okay,
let's
we'll go with Charlie's first. Yeah, we're gonna go with Charlie's first. We're gonna put his 11 up on the screen. Charlie, walk us through your 11, and then I can tell you how bad your 11 is.
Perfect. So I'm going to go with Zach Steffen goal.
Okay.
We know Greg Berhalter said he's the number one.
Yeah, least controversial of all of them. Yeah.
Yes. I think Christian Pulisic is probably the least controversial.
Oh, that's
or
true.
Tyler Adams. But
that's
okay.
True. I don't know. Tyler Adams hasn't been starting then.
Hey, you're already throwing out Horvath. So you're the one who's trying to throw that in and change it all up. So don't come over here.
No, that was my power rankings from like a week ago. You know, life changes. Life comes at you quick, man. You gotta move with the times.
Okay. Next, I'm going to go left back, Anthony Robinson. That position's locked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that might be the one certified lock for the U.S.
Do you think it's locked because there's no competition, or locked because of his performances, or both?
Both. I'd say both. I mean, he's had some big time performances. He's also had some performances where he struggled, especially with his delivery, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the one area where he can really be a game changer for this U.S. men's national team, especially when they're going to play narrow with Christian always tending to come inside on his right mm-hmm. foot. That left gap on the flank is going to be wide open, because that right back's going to follow Christian inside. So now you have that whole flank ready for Anthony Robinson. So it is crucial that his service is on point. If his service is on point, the U.S. is going to have a ton of chances. And you're talking about Pifolk, who is a striker who makes his salary on finishing services from the flank. So you have Zimmerman, who I think has played himself into being the number one center back at the moment. And then you have Aaron Long. I think this is going to be the surprise for most, because Aaron Long – is playing so well with Red Bulls. I know it's an early season, not so many matches, but under his belt. But he's back, right? Mm-hmm. And so it looks like Miles Robinson has been switched out the past couple of matches. The only reason he came back in was because Chris Richards was out. But if everyone remembers, Chris Richards was played over him to be partnered with Walker Zimmerman. So I think that makes sense that Aaron Long comes back in to the team. And then Reggie Cannon, just because he's been so consistent. He's playing now in Portugal every single match, and he's gone through the whole process of dealing with a relegated squad, a team that could be relegated, a team that's battling financial issues.
Yeah.
So he's gone through the playing, not playing. He's grown a lot, and now he's consistently playing. And to be playing in the club that he's playing at now in Boa Vista means he has to be putting in solid performances, because otherwise he'd be on the bench.
Charlie, I got two questions for you on that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The first one from Greg is who do you sub off first in your team? Do you save Pulisic after the 60th minute? And then also, why Cannon over Yedlin?
I choose Cannon over Yedlin because defensively, I think he's better. He's a little bit more physical. Sure, he won't give you as much going forward with, I think, chances, just because Yedlin is quicker. He's faster. He can get in behind. But I think you have Timothy Weah on that side. So that provides the balance. You have Anthony Robinson who can go high, and you have Reggie Cannon who can drop. And so you have that balance. And Timothy Weah gets high up down the right flank, and Reggie Cannon's there for support. So I like Reggie Cannon in that instance, because I think defensively it's a safer bet. And to be honest, DeAndre Yedlin hasn't been that great with Miami. And I know Miami's poor in general. They're one of the worst teams in Major League Soccer this year. But with that being said, I think you go with Reggie Cannon because the team's doing well, and he's on the pitch for 90 minutes.
Hey, by the way, Charlie, real quick, I'm reading right now that U.S. Soccer has just officially stated that Brennan Aaronson, the expectation for him is that he'll be coming into camp and his status is day to day. So just keep that in mind, which likely means there wouldn't be a replacement for him should he not come in, or maybe he's coming in to see the medical staff. I'm not really sure. There could be a million reasons around that. But sorry, in terms of your sub off before you get to the rest of your roster there.
All right. So then I'm going to go with two defensive midfielders, and I'm going to go with Tyler Adams and Kellen Acosta. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play with two sixes.
The double pivot.
You're at a double pivot. You're at Azteca. You play with both of them, kind of control that midfield and kind of where Raul Jimenez likes to come in and check in, block that, cut that off, and those two can cover so much ground. We all know Kellen Acosta as a six is better than he is as an eight or a 10, right?
He played it right back yesterday, by the way, for LAFC in that whole 90 minutes there.
So I like him. I like him there. And yes, Tyler Adams hasn't been playing with Leipzig. It's a bit of a concern because for whatever reason, he fell out of the coach's favor, right? It happens. But we all know how gifted he is. He is an engine. He is a machine. I know you talked about yellow cards. For me, you can never take a game off in CONCACAF. So to throw away a game in Mexico at Azteca Stadium because it's a difficult place to play, for me, doesn't make too much sense because, hey, what if you do win? Then the pressure's off on that Panama game, right? What if they have a yellow red card? Or what if the fans turn on that team and you outplay them, right? So Canada's gone there and gotten a point. Panama had tons of chances to get a result there. And you look at what Jamaica did too. They had chances. They kept it close. So I think the U.S. can go there to get a point. That's realistic. But you go for the win, right? You play your best players. Now, in saying that, you put Yunus Musah as an attacking midfielder, not necessarily a 10, but he's going to be your midfielder who's going to be in the attack. He can dribble out of pressure. He's a player who can burst through lines on the ball. I think he gets into good positions, advanced positions. He can spray the ball. He's technically gifted. So you allow him to kind of be a free-ranged attacking midfielder. And I think that will work well. And then Timothy Weah, he hasn't been in the best form, but we know what he brings to the team that other players don't necessarily have. I think Jordan Morris has it, but he's still not yet caught up to where he needs to be. You know, he's still getting back to form, right? So Jordan Morris can get there, but I think Timothy Weah starts on the right flank. You have Christian Pulisic on the left flank. We know what he can do. Remember, less is more with Christian. Less touches, be in higher advanced positions, be a little bit more isolated, come out to the wing more and play off the dribble. Trust your teammates. Don't feel like you have to do it all. And then Jordan Pefok up top. He's in incredible form. At the end of the day, you want players who are playing, who are in form on the national team, not necessarily, are they playing here? Are they playing there? They're playing and they're doing their job.
Yep.
I think he's ready. He's had a couple of tastes of how these players play. He knows their tendencies. He's your guy. Now, Gio Reyna, that's probably your first sub coming into the game. And you talked about, who's your first sub? It depends on the game. I don't want to say hate. Hate's the wrong word. I strongly dislike when substitutions are premeditated. Because if the game is calling for something else, and you already talked about, I'm going to sub this player off at 65, you're hurting yourself. And you're going to change the game for the wrong reason. So if the left back for Mexico, if it's Gallardo, and he's having a horrible game, and Timothy Wey is doing awesome. But the plan was to sub him off at 65 to get Gio Reyna on. That makes no sense to me. You go with the guys who are doing good, doing well in the game, and you make substitutions based off of that. So,
well, Charlie, I like it. We're going to get back to that 11, but first we're going to welcome in our special guest. That is Paco Palencia, who is a legend, the Mexican national team. Paco, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Thank you so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it. We want to get straight into it with you because we got a lot of questions for you. And if you can turn on your camera, it would be great. But if not, also okay.
I just turned my camera on, but I can watch myself.
Yeah,
I'm a ghost.
Yeah. fair enough. Well, listen, let's get straight into this. Mexico team, are you surprised with the way that they've struggled at times in qualifying? Obviously still in a great position, obviously still going to qualify, but are you surprised by the way in which they've sort of gone about business so far in the qualifying campaign?
Yeah, we are really disappointed. First of all, thanks, sorry, for you guys to inviting me here, and Charlie, nice to meet you and see you guys. It's a pleasure to be with you. Yeah, for us, we are very disappointed about all these kind of things that it happens to the our national team. I think we have enough talent in the field. We have enough talent in the roster, and I think that we should be like in the first two positions, struggling with USA. Actually, Canada, it's a great surprise for us to show up and be in the first position. But for me, it's really disappointing that we are like, even now we are afraid that we don't qualify. If we lost against US men national team, we're in very danger because Panama is like really close from us. If they win, they're going to be in 1 point behind us. And it's going to be like really disappointed for us to be like this. So for me, it's I am really pissed about this situation because the talent is there, and I think it's the guilty. It's the coach that he don't have the feeling or the rapport to be like to put it all together in the same way, in the same goal.
I had a question, Paco. If you're looking at this lineup for L3 in this match in Azteca Stadium versus U.S. Men's National Team, who must be on the pitch for you? Because I look at these players, and there's a lot of top talented Mexican national team players who are not in great form, right? Mm-hmm. So would you rather play players who are playing consistently versus, you know, some of the bigger name players who might not be in the best of form?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, Charlie, because for me, the most important is the play that the players who are in the best shape. Never mind if there are like they have more experience, less experience. For me, they have to be the players that they're not experienced in the best shape. Never mind if they are younger or experienced or really, really a lot of experience. I don't want to say old, but these games you have to play with the best on the pitch that you have, the best rhythm, the best the most motivated, because there are some of those guys, maybe they go and they're not motivated. I don't know why, but some games we watch, they said like this guy is not playing in the same intensity, the same energy in with the national team that in their teams. So first of all, we have to go to the national team because you want to go, because you love to go, not because you have to be there. It's because you want to.
And do you think that there's a problem right now? Obviously, you've got a player like Chicharito that's in good form, but he's still got his falling out. You've got just these issues that you have with Tata Martino. Do you think that this is a window where it starts to come together? Do you think he's the capable manager of bringing all of these teams and these players together to, one, be proud to play for the national team and get the most out of them, and also see this team continue to get better? Or do you think that, I mean, how much of that is on the manager versus these players that need to have their own motivations to come in the national team?
I think we have to put the egos out, because it's the national team. Mm-hmm. It's not about, it's my team. It's not the Tata Martino team. It's not Chicharito's team. It's not any other player's team. It's Mexico. And we have to put the egos out. And if Chicharito is in a good shape, you have to pick up the phone and call him. Hey, I like you because you are in a good shape. You are back in a good shape. You start scoring goals. I think you're working hard. So I want you to be here. You want to come? It's not Paco, about ego.
Yes. You know this. This is going to be the biggest question for you. If there's one player on this roster that mm-hmm. needs to be at his best for Mexico to win and qualify for the World Cup, who is that yes. player for you?
For me, Corona.
El Tecatito. Wow, okay.
For me, it's one of the best players in Mexico. I think he is he always in a good shape. He never talk too much. He just work, which is important. Don't talk, just work. And he always make the difference. Every time, well, you can tell when he was playing at Oporto, he's a quiet player, but he always works so hard. He scored goals, he makes assists. And then with Sevilla, as soon as he land in Sevilla, he is a starter. Mm-hmm. He's a starter. So for me, the key player is El Tecatito.
That's well said. Well, Paco, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you coming on and answering a few questions for us. Obviously, a legend of the game and another Chivas USA player to come join us. It's a very weird small community we've built, but we keep having former Chivas USA players on the team. So thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us and being a part of this community. And we appreciate you taking time out of your day, and all the best for Mexico and this upcoming window, except for the first one against the US. We're not going to wish you good luck for that one. We need that luck because we want to get four in a row against Mexico. And I will say, if there is a fourth, hopefully things don't come burning down in Mexico for the U.S. beating them. But we have one more question for you, actually, before you go. Misael Romero is asking, I wonder how Paco is feeling about his Pumas in CONCACAF Champions League.
Well, they're doing good. They make a comeback the last game.
Don't talk about it.
And this is football. This is soccer. So I think Pumas has that energy. You know, he has that proud. They never give up. And for me, it's a pleasure to be with you guys. Sorry to be late, because like now here it's almost 9 o'clock, and I brought my kid to the soccer training and coming pick him up really quick and bring him back home. And I don't want to miss the chance to chat a little bit with you guys. Hope next time will be longer.
Yeah, I hope next time will be longer as well. And we appreciate, that makes this time that you spent with us even more special, that you took time out of your day while you're with your family. So thank you so much. And we appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much. Have a good one, guys.
All right, Charlie. So let's get back into it, man. What a legend. It's great to have a legend on this, especially heading into a Mexico-US match. Charlie, tell us about Paramount Plus's plans at the Aztec. I mean, do you have the plans that you can share with us? I mean, what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, these are top secret. Yeah. No, but we're all going. It's going to be exciting. We're going to be in Azteca Stadium for the pre-match, the halftime, and the post-game. I haven't been there since 2009, so a little bit of a bittersweet moment for me, but. Yeah, this is exactly what I've always dreamed of. You know, getting to work, on this side of things, covering the biggest games, right? And this is the biggest game for U.S. soccer and for Mexican fans, for Mexico. This is the biggest match in CONCACAF. It doesn't get better. I know Canada is first place, but this is the biggest match.
Yeah.
So I'm pumped that we get to cover it, and obviously it's on CBS Sportsnet, so. No one has to complain about being behind a paywall. You can watch it. Let's go. I'm hyped.
I like that. I like that. Well, listen, we'll get into my starting 11 now. But just for everyone's sake and understanding of why you should be watching this game, and if you can't be there live, then you should be watching it on TV, is because this is probably the last time for a very long time that U.S. is going to play Mexico in a match of consequence, at least for World Cup qualifying, because you go into 2026, automatic qualification and more teams. And then when you go into 2030, you're going to have a different qualifying schedule. More teams are going in, which means they're probably going to break up U.S. and Mexico into two separate groups. And so you might not see this again for a long time. And that's the magnitude of this. Plus, there's points on the line for qualifying. So make sure you're tuning into that. So listen, we'll get into my 11 real quick, Dez, if you want to throw that up. I'll walk through it very, very quickly. We've got some similarities in the team. I've got Yunus Musa, Pifok, Weah, and Pulisic.
It's the same thing.
No.
Except for Yedlin.
No. Yeah, except for Yedlin. And actually, by the way, I did think that I'd get one past you with Aaron Long, but I like him as well. He's been really, really good. And there's just a simplicity to his game and an athleticism that I think is similar to Miles Robinson, but more experience. And I think Miles Robinson in these types of moments and in the form that he's in right now is capable of making that one error that might be costly to the team. I love Miles Robinson. I love his upside. I love where he's going to go. I'd love to see him find a new challenge somewhere that can really push his game to the next level. But Aaron Long's the same for me. DeAndre Yedlin, I went with just based on experience. I know we went with him on experience earlier on in the window against Canada where he shut off and made a mistake and something that shouldn't happen for somebody with as much experience as and quality that he has. I'm hoping that he's a little more balanced. I actually, as I was looking at yours and I saw that you had Cannon in there, it started to make more sense to me with Cannon than Yedlin, especially because of the fact that Robinson and Dest, when they play together, leave us very exposed at times because they both like to cheat up the field as with their starting positions. And you can't have both doing that all the time. Now, if you're very, very good in possession, which I think we are at home against some teams, that works. But you need to be able to sit home and know and pick and choose your moments. Charlie, you know what it's like in the locker rooms when, and maybe not to be a defender, but when you play in games like this, there's always that conversation with the coach, which is like, hey, there's going to be space for you there, but pick and choose your moments of when to go. You know, defense first, be smart, don't leave the team exposed. You know, kind of release yourself as you see the buildup happening or changing the point of the attack. Then you can start to go. Don't cheat up high on the field and have your starting positions be leaving your team a little exposed. Now, if you play with a double pivot, you can be a little bit more open in that. But yeah, I'm actually starting to think a little bit more towards Reggie Cannon in this one. But I do think DeAndre Yedlin in his response to the Canada performance has been better for the national team. He's been good for Inter Miami, and so I'd like to see him get a run out. Just having a little bit more of that I've been there before type of mentality, even though we both know that that doesn't always mean something, because if that was the case, you'd have John Anthony Brooks on the field, and it doesn't always apply, you know, kind of apples to apples in that case. But yeah, very similar to your starting 11. Not a lot of surprises there, but yeah, I want to get your thoughts on that real quick.
Yeah, I would say solid starting 11. You and I see the game very similar. I would say, yeah, you want to be pragmatic. I think in a case where you're desperate,
by the way, we've been accused of being a little bit too defensive with that lineup. But you know, there might be long. My take on that is that there might be long periods that we won't have the ball against Mexico. We saw in the Nations League there are long periods we didn't have the ball against Mexico. We remember ourselves beating Mexico, but Mexico had the run of play. Mexico had the bigger chances. They had us kind of on the ropes at times. We just outfought them. And we're more strategic, but the romanticism in us is like, we beat Mexico, no problem. But that's not how the game plays over 90 minutes when you play Mexico.
No, not at all. And I think with Reggie Cannon, I think he has a little bit more tenacity when it comes to defending first, right? If you needed 3 points, Yedlin's on the pitch, I think, because he's much more aggressive, right? And a game changer. But also, Greg loves his game changing subs, right? So you're talking about bringing Yedlin on. That's a real change of pace. Right, that's a big added bonus when you're talking about a substitution who can come in and bring something different. Right,
yeah.
Same with Gio Reyna. Same with you know, I think Ricardo Pepi is a little bit different too than Pifok, just with his movement. And you know, Jordan's not the quickest player. Jordan Morris might also be a substitution where, you know, he comes on, he makes a big difference. So I like the options off the bench. I like how Greg has approached his, you know, roster for this these three games. I mean, it's massive. This is it. This is what we all been waiting for. And if you told me a year ago or 2 years ago that we'd be in this position right now, I'd say I like my chances. Second place in the table, we have one home game against two teams who are not at their best. I'll take my chances all day.
Yep. Well, that's well said. And by the way, we're looking at Jimmy Conrad's projected 11. He's obviously on CBS Sports HQ right now and couldn't join us today, but we'll take a look at it. And for those of you that are listening, he's got Miles Robinson slotted in instead of Aaron Long. He's got Yedlin at right back, similar to mine. Tyler Adams, Gio Reyna, and Musa in the midfield as a midfield three. So Musa would be probably sitting a little bit deeper with Gio Reyna connected to the strikers. Then up top, he's got Jesus Ferreira starting. You know, this is a real impulse move for Jimmy after Jesus Ferreira's hat trick over the weekend, which I'm not against, by the way, but certainly worth kind of stewing on a little bit as to what Greg Berhalter is actually going to do with his lineup there. And I'm seeing a lot of shouts, by the way, Charlie, for Luca De La Torre. I haven't seen enough of a sample size against an opponent that I think troubles me or worries me to trust him in a game like this. Obviously good with his feet, calm on the ball, but in a game like this, I'd like to have a little bit more of an idea of what I can get from a guy like that before putting him in or throwing him into the fire like this one.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my surprises in the starting 11, because I'm like, I know Greg likes him and mm-hmm. respects his game, and he does have that.
You're talking about Luca?
Luca, yeah.
Okay.
A player who is good in possession, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think for this matchup,
if you don't got possession and they overpress you and you don't have possession, you quickly start to go like, man, I can't find the ball. That's because you're hiding. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you got to find other ways in matches like this to be impactful. And it can't just be possession based, because if you're not getting the ball in good spots or people don't want the ball that are connecting the lines, you're rendered pretty much useless if that's what you do best, you know?
Right. And so, yeah, I'm going to go with two players who are probably better defensively on set pieces as well. So, yeah. Set pieces, I think, are going to win this game for the U.S. So it's a match that you have to grind. And they always talked about suffering. I don't like to use that word. No one likes to suffer, and you don't need to suffer against this Mexican team. You just have to be tactically sound. If you're tactically sound, you know Tecatito, he's going to take his touches. Don't get pulled out of position so they can, you know, 1-2 around you, or you can get chopped left and right and diving in. Stand him up, and you look on the other side, and it's Chucky Lozano. Mm-hmm. He waits for you to drop your head. Mm-hmm. As soon as somebody has time and space, especially Hector Herrera, the ball's over the top. Before you know it, he's in behind. You know how they play. So it's just being tactically sound, and I think the U.S. has a really good chance at coming away with at least a point.
Well, Charlie, I use the word suffer because you're a striker. You don't know what it's like to suffer long periods. You're the one running at the defenders for 90 minutes. The defenders have to defend for 90 minutes, and it's not very fun. You have to be willing to suffer. You don't have to suffer. You have to be willing to suffer long periods of, like, you know, especially these guys that play in good football clubs now where they play decent football. You might not be with the ball for long periods. And it's like you said, it's tactical. It's discipline. It's knowing when to pick and choose your moments to go forward. Well, let's shift our focus over to the other qualifiers real quick. Panama versus Honduras is taking place, Charlie. What's your takeaway from this one? Obviously, Panama is still very much alive, and they're playing against Honduras, who have been surprisingly bad for the entirety of, like, take away their draw against Canada to start World Cup qualifying in their first half against the U.S. They've been really poor and could and likely will give up all 3 points to Panama, who are playing at home in this one. I mean, what's your takeaways from this match?
I think Honduras are still going to be poor. Panama won in Honduras 3-2. So I think Panama take care of business at home, which means they continue to put pressure on Mexico and the U.S., which a draw is a dream for Panama in this one. If they can take care of Honduras, which I think they will. And then Costa Rica, they play Canada. Now, Costa Rica, when they lost 1-0 in Canada on November 12th, they did not have Keylor Navas. So Keylor Navas is back, and he makes a huge difference for this Costa Rican side. And Canada still don't have Davies. So you throw in the belief of this Costa Rican side. It seems like they've turned it around. They understand how they're going to have success. They don't have game-changing players going forward. Joel Campbell is kind of the player that they rely on to create some chances. But largely, they're a set-piece team. They're either they win a ball in the attacking half off of the counter press, they score, or they are good on a set piece and they win 1-0, and that's good enough for Costa Rica. That's how they're going to beat you. So if Canada, you know, concede a goal, it'll be very difficult for Canada to come away with that with a result. In Costa Rica, they're still in it. So they're playing with a lot of belief. And I think those are the two matchups to watch.
That's well said. And by the way, I had a chance to sit down and chat with Anibal Godoy, kind of a midfield maestro of Panama. And that interview will be coming out later this week. And by the way, we're still giving away that $100 gift card to Paramount Plus. So make sure you drop your handles in the chat without the at sign so that we can enter you in to win that $100 Paramount Plus gift card. It's pretty great, you know, depending on what subscription service you get or which premium of a level, it could last you quite a while. So make sure that you give us your handle so we have that and you can enter in. We're going to be doing more of these along the way. So we appreciate all of you. If you haven't already, subscribe to the channel, like this video as well. And if you're listening to this in audio form, you know, leave us a comment, leave us a review, help this podcast get found by more people. Charlie, we got a couple more games that we've got to talk about. Obviously, Costa Rica versus Canada, you touched on. And then Jamaica, El Salvador, a little bit of a consolation, so to speak, and not of huge value. But those two teams will be looking to play spoilers in some of their games later on in the window. Do you expect anything special to come out of this Jamaica? Do you, I haven't looked to see who Jamaica's even brought into to these ones, but you know, both teams not in the race to finish fourth or in the top four. But what does the future look like, at least to you, for Jamaica and El Salvador? Do you see bright spots? Was there anything exciting about them in the qualifying campaign? Do you think they're going to be dangerous moving forward, especially with an expanded World Cup after this one?
Yeah, I mean, Jamaica, they play El Salvador. El Salvador has, I think, impressed a lot of teams in World Cup qualifying. They've come a long way. You know, Hugo Perez has transformed El Salvador. And you have to imagine, you know, a player like Alex Roldan coming into that team, having the choice of trying to continue to play well for the Seattle Sounders and hope for a U.S. call-up like his brother Christian Roldan, or go play for El Salvador now. And he chose now, and he's kind of been a revelation for them. So that's been good to see. Jamaica is a team that I think came on too late. You know, they surprised the U.S., I think, in Jamaica with that draw. But when you have, you know, some of the players that they do, you need some chemistry, and there was no cohesion. It was all individuals, and I think that's what kind of was the downfall for Jamaica. So El Salvador looks like, if Hugo Perez stays and isn't, you know, poached from an MLS side in the next cycle, they could be a team that I see them, you know, continue to make progress.
That's well said. And Elias, appreciate you giving us an update. Antonio's not in for that camp, which is a disappointment, but makes sense considering that they're no longer really in the chase for anything other than looking towards the future. But Charlie, that's it for us, man. I know it was brief. It was a long hour, but we had a lot of ground to cover and we didn't get a chance to dive deeper into these things. But as a reminder to everyone, we'll be going live again after Thursday's game to recap what will hopefully be the fourth straight win over El Tree. And make sure you join us then. And in the meantime, follow In Soccer We Trust wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a glowing rating and a review. Download all of the episodes. Tell all of your family, friends, loved ones, colleagues, anybody that you know. Go out on the street, print out some cards, hand them out to people. Let people know this exists because we want to build a really strong community, not just now, not tomorrow, but for the foreseeable future. And you know the drill with all this stuff. Like, comment, subscribe. And until next time, on behalf of myself, producer Dez, Alex, of course, Charlie Davies, thank you so much. And every one of you that send those comments in, we thank you so much. And we will see you guys all on Thursday.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.